Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my spectacular co-host, we've got the one and only Lord Seth Vilo.
Aloha to everybody and all other greetings in other languages. Yes.
Yes. And we've got the wonderful Shark Finnegan.
Hello.
And we're here to bring you another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And boy, did stuff happen this week. But
a little.
Not just in like...
Stuff
not
is really... still happening now.
I know. It's worse is after the show comes out, something else is going to come out too.
Right? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, 1,000%. They've announced already there's news happening on the Sunday
of Worlds,
which is literally in about maybe 11 hours from now.
Yeah, spoiler, we are not talking live when you're listening to this in your car. Like,
what?
I know, it's crazy. Like,
to be fair, you would be surprised at the number of people that think that is happening. So.
I mean, I did when I was young, too. Like, and then when I saw my teachers outside of school, I was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Why? What?
When I was a young kid, I used to think that the TV shows would come on when I wanted to. I thought they were on demand. Like, but the problem is, this is very unrelatable to the youth today, right? Because they just turn on Netflix or Disney Plus and watch whatever. And when I was four, I was like, man, I really want to watch Family Matters. And then it would be 5:30 and it was on at 5 o'clock. And I'd be like, oh, man. To be fair, it took me a very long time to realize that was the case, was because you could like miss the show. Well, I thought like the TV station would just play the show when I wanted them to play the show.
No, Dad. It says in front of a live studio audience. That means behind the studio audience.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right now.
I remember when primetime TV was an event, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, back in the day.
Remember TGIF on ABC? Okay, that was the thing. When you were a kid.
Wonderful World Disney and all that.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, man. But yeah, this isn't the reminiscing about us being old podcast.
Yet.
Well, okay, so this is a complete aside, but my... My wife this morning goes, oh, you've got a gray hair in your eyebrow.
Oh,
and I was
no.
I was like, that's like the wrong place.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, okay. I mean, some people probably haven't seen it on stream because it's very subtle. But, like, I have been graying for a while now.
Uh-huh.
Like, a very long while.
I hear you, my guy.
I've been graying for a bit, which is fine. It's like, accelerating as of late.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a problem with like my hair graying because it like I have like that silver gray, you know. So I'm gonna look good, you know. That's what I tell myself at least. And so like I don't mind, but when she found it in the eyebrow, something in me broke. I'm like, it's supposed to happen on the head, not anywhere else.
When I had facial hair, that happened to me a lot, where there was like either the silver ones randomly or. Like the ones that are totally not my hair color, like randomly red ones, and it was just, what the heck is going on?
I definitely have the silver in the beard. I definitely have that.
I have a few, not too bad in the kind of in the beard whenever it comes out. It's more for me like on kind of the side of my head, like side area.
That's
got, like it's just the stray ones there. Not really not eyebrow yet, thank God.
They were stray at first. That's how it starts. No, my hairstylist, I was, when I first talked to her, I go, I apologize, there's a couple of gray hairs. And so the first thing she says to me, we have a great rapport now. First thing she says to me when we meet is, oh no, there's more than a couple. And then the other day I went to get my haircut, like maybe a month or two ago. And she goes out of nowhere. She goes, I'm just saying, like, compared to the first time I cut your hair, you know, a couple of years ago, there's a lot more than there were before. And I was just like, yeah, I've noticed.
Hear that, folks? If you've been playing Pokemon since the beginning.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm okay with gray hairs. Like, it's going to look fine. My dad grayed early, so I was kind of prepared for this.
Yep.
So I've been prepared for the gray hairs for a very long time. I wish it would just come in faster and get it over with instead of having like this awkward middle stage.
Yeah.
Where there's just like random gray hairs. But, oh man. Okay. Pokemon. Yeah. Pokemon. That's what we're here for. I actually have some Pokemon stuff to talk about.
I hit
a milestone this week.
Yes, I saw this.
Ooh.
I hit a milestone this week and I'm going to shame both of you.
No. Okay, that's
it.
What this is about.
I got it before
I don't
you.
Know what this is. Okay, go ahead. What are you...
Okay, so I hit level 40 in Pokemon Go after seven years. Finally. You know, the way I did it was I became best friends with Mark from the podcast. Okay. He is my second Puckle best friend. I would like to shame all of you for not opening my gifts.
I'm sorry. For a long time my bag was too full and then I just stopped playing.
You can actually just turn off the bag thing if you click just the ignore it, and then you can open gifts anyway without getting items. Fun fact.
Oh. To be fair, we're two hearts.
Yeah. We're something.
I need to play it more.
I became
best friends with Mark, and I hit level 40, and that makes two Puckle people I'm best friends with.
Rip.
Two Puckle co-hosts. Two Puckle co-hosts. There's
how much friends are we? Sigma. I know.
We've only driven hours in cars together. It's fine.
I know, right? And we're about to drive a few more.
We're about to do a few more. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But are we really best friends, Seth? That's all I'm saying.
Like, apparently not.
We'll stay at each other's houses, but will we be best friends? I don't know. Pokemon Go says no.
Where are you? We're only two stars. Oh gosh, I feel terrible.
Oh,
how many days?
I don't know.
Seth, we're not best friends. We're not even friends.
I don't even think we're friends yet.
Oh my gosh. I've ruined your lives.
In a second here.
I've ruined your lives. Yeah, I also went to a league challenge on Monday. Or not Monday. No, it wasn't a league challenge. I went to league.
Wait. No, wait, that's
I went to league on Monday to practice TCGs to get ready for Pittsburgh, which still has an open registration, by the way, and I'm really concerned about that.
I'm hoping it will after Worlds is done.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping. But I went because I'm like, oh, the world's competitors that are at my local league will probably be gone, and I won't have to deal with that, and I can just like kind of relax and go play like Regidrago or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I built Regidrago real quick, but I was really tired that day too. And my wife was actually, she's like, no, just go play. Like, you want to practice? Like, you want to do it? And so I was like, fine. So like, I hurried up and I put Regidrago together and I ran out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to League, and one, it was Obsidian Flames release week, so they actually did a free like win a box tournament at League instead of League, so way more people showed up, and so I was like, oh man, I really am not in a place where I can do five rounds tonight. And so I start playing Regidrago, and I can't hit a DTE to save my life, right?
Typical Arceus problems.
So I do a deck search, and I can't find any DTE.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh man, are they all prized? And so I almost actually win this game, by the way, by manually attaching and powering up Regidragos.
Wow.
And then I picked up my prize cards after I left, and there were no DTEs, because I was so tired, and I hurried up and built that deck so fast that I left the four DTEs on my desk.
You forgot the DTEs.
Yeah, I forgot the DTEs. So I went after round one. I'm like, I'm dropping. I'll see you guys later.
Wow.
I would have won that game if I would have hit a DTE, like at any point.
Yeah.
Like if I would have hit a DTE, I would have won that game, which made me feel funnier about that deck to begin with.
Nah, man, this card says drive home and pick up your energy that you need.
Yeah, essentially when I was just like, I'm tired anyway, so I came home and I just played. I played live with you guys, and
yeah, that was fun though.
But honestly, I think I get more out of that sometimes than just going to League. Like League is, I like going to League only if anything for my nerves, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because like I still get, and I understand how this works because I used to be like a competitive bowler, right? And I guess I still am to some extent. Like I still bowl, but I do so with different intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand like getting nerves, and they eventually go away if you do it enough, which is kind of where I'm trying to get to. But like, you know, I also have anxieties, and so every time I walk in there, they go, I'm just like, I'm not a real TCG player like these guys. But then like I realize how ridiculous that is almost as soon as I think it, because it's just like a bunch of 18-year-olds. Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, they're talking about how, getting their allowance money together so that they can afford their GLC deck or something.
Yeah. For me, it's just there really is a lot to that muscle memory, you know? Because
there is part of that, too. Yes. You have to be careful.
There's a habit I'm trying to correct now where I don't accidentally flash the bottom card of my deck to my opponent when I'm putting my deck down.
Yes.
So I'm changing how I shuffle now, which is taking a lot of mental energy whenever I go to shuffle it and stuff like that. So
that's a lot. Like mental fortitude is really big, especially when you play 9 rounds, right? Like,
yeah. And just correcting physical habits to make your gameplay better. Like,
yeah, especially
because I know
rounds.
I've definitely, like, I'll admit it. I've seen a guy, you know, accidentally show me the bottom card of their deck, and they accidentally revealed a tech card that they have in their deck, and it changed how I played.
Yep.
Because, I mean, if you're just going to show me what you're playing by accident or by carelessness, I'm going to use that information. Like,
no, I don't blame you. No, it's definitely just a lot. There's a lot of muscle memory, which is why we probably need to start doing webcam stuff soon.
Yeah, we need to.
Just for our sake. And, yeah, we'll start doing that soon. But yeah, this has been my story. Other than like, I got a box of Obsidian Flames, and apparently you can pull every Charizard under the sun very easily. Because it turns out there's just no cards in this set.
Other than that, yeah.
Other than Charizard and like Pidgeot, and even my wife. So my wife doesn't play competitively, but she collects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just like opening the pack. So one, we pulled 3 of the 4 Charizards out of 1 booster box.
Are you kidding me? What?
Yeah, we pulled 3. There's 4 Charizards in this set, which is very annoying, by the way. Oh, and she pulled 3 of them. She pulled the $100 one, like the big money one that everybody wants.
Ooh.
She pulled that. I'm mostly happy because I don't have to buy it for her to finish her collection.
Yeah.
And then she pulled the silver full art, which I think is the better looking one, honestly.
Yeah.
Which people are valuing at like $25 right now. Like once Monday hits, all these prices crash.
Oh yeah.
And then she also pulled like a regular Charizard EX as well. And so like that's like a deck's worth of Charizards right there.
No kidding. Yeah.
And she pulled a Pidgeot EX full art at the same time out of the same box. And I'm like,
the
well, that's all
the
card.
Alt.
But she not being a Pokemon TCG player goes, there's like no trainer cards.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, there's like 12 in the set because it was made from, I'm like, imagine you take a set that it was just a bunch of theme decks. And she's like, yeah. And I go, yeah, that's what this is.
There's a lot of starter deck things, like the Clefable EX that we got.
Yeah. Like, that is what this set is. It's literally a bunch of Japanese starter decks plus, like, one set. Put it shoved all together. But yeah. Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. I capitalized.
That's okay. You know what I've been doing?
What have you been doing? Watering your plants?
Baldur's Gate, baby!
Oh, man. I've been thinking about buying it, though.
It's so fun. Like, it really is doing a good job of just being D&D the video game.
I started
a little single player one just to kind of get the idea of what was going on. I played with some of my friends online in a two separate four-person games, and we're getting through the little beginning bits and having a blast. In my third one, I was a druid, and right when we got out of the ship or whatever, I just experimented. I turned into a cat, and I was like, oh, okay, this is awesome. This is really, really cool. And, you know, my brother was online and he was saying, oh, shoot, that I've seen a lot of little cubby holes where we can't get in, because he's gotten way farther in his own safe.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of little holes where we can't get in. But now I realize that's for you. That's for you to get into. We're going to get through things so easily. And so that'll be that. And then another guy in that same one was like, huh, I wonder if... Then he walks up to me, the cat, picks me up, throws me, deals 3 damage, and pops the cat, and there pops out my character's body out of the cat, and it's just like, what did you do? How did you blow up my cat? You monster!
That's hilarious.
It was the funniest couple minutes I've ever seen. But that's such a good game, and I haven't even gotten that far into it.
I'm thinking about picking it up. I am thinking about it.
Get it. It's so good.
Oh, what about you, Shark? You been up to anything?
Aside from kind of following what's happening at Worlds right now,
yeah.
The big thing that I've been doing is I've been doing some draft league stuff. Specifically, I got into a Wi-Fi draft league.
Oh yeah, I heard about this. You told me about this, and you're making 60-minute matches work.
Yes, because that's how they've started it. You can set up a friendly competition where you basically have to set it up a day in advance, at least. You could set
so you
a
can't
while in advance,
you can't like you can't just like I like it because it forces it's like more accountability to make sure that people actually
forces
show up
scheduling.
Oh yeah, 1,000% scheduling. It makes it harder. You can only have one friendly competition at a time, so it does like kind of force a little ownership there.
Yeah,
but you can totally set up timer. It's basically you set up a time range for the tournament, which is 1 to 3 hours. I default to 3 hours because that's how it makes the most sense. You can set up the rules, whether it's like any Pokemon, whether it's the official rules, whether it's just like any with flat, you know, set it to level 50, you know, that kind of thing. And then you have as well, you can set the time length of the match and how much time each player gets. Like my league has been defaulting to like 20 minute timers per player and 60 minute for the whole match. Which is more than enough. Most of my matches have tended to run about 15 to 20 minutes, which is not bad.
Yeah.
But, weak.
But that does mean that I've, like, doing this enough times now, I was like, well, you know what? It might be time that Puckle returns back to OU on cart and
that would be
make it a
awesome.
Nice league night here.
I think we should do it for a league night, like the Puckle league nights. This sounds like a great idea. I'm not against it at all.
Yep. OU on cart, guys.
Mm-hmm. Baby.
I will try to host it this month. This
I'll play a stone game.
No, we need to do it. We need to do it. All right. Well, I'm going to cut our intro short here. Well, it's actually very long.
Short.
But, yeah. but we do have some news to talk about, so let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. There was I don't understand how this news document this week is this long, even though the topic this week is news.
Right.
So
just spread it all out.
Yep. The first thing, because I don't really want to cover this in the presents over, is the Pokemon TCG for Game Boy and Pokemon Stadium 2 got released for the Nintendo Switch Online after the presents this week. They even include the IR functionality for using card pop in the TCG Game Boy game, which is actually better than the one that they had in the 3DS Virtual Console.
Huh.
I saw a lot of people complaining that we didn't get like proper Pokemon as like Virtual Console releases, and not Virtual Console, but NSO releases
at all announced. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
I want it, but they're not gonna. Ugh.
No. Okay. So you say this, but if you actually look at the history of the Virtual Console on 3DS, right? In the history of the Virtual Console on 3DS, we had this game and actually Pokemon Puzzle Challenge for the Game Boy Color come out way before the other ones did. And I don't know if they kind of just do that as a, hey, what's the, like, as like a, you know, testing the waters to see how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to remember there's going to be a lot of things that they're going to have to change for the Pokemon games. Because connectivity is obviously going to happen, and it's obviously very much already in NSO. But the one thing they have to change is you can't have cloud saves, right? Pokemon doesn't want cloud saves, and for good reasons. Most of them existing because of whatever. My honest opinion is that we will get something of this sort at some point. We will get Pokemon. Everybody's like, well, the Switch is going to die, and dollars to donuts. I never see that on the show, but I like saying it. My money is that the Nintendo Switch 2 that comes out next year, if the rumors are to be believed, will not be as much of a change as people think it is.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, I 1,000% that. I believe that. 1,000%. They're not going to change it.
I believe you will be. It will be entirely backwards compatible with the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah,
and that it is literally. It's going to be more akin to upgrading your PC than anything else.
Yeah,
it's probably
hope.
It's probably more so because honestly, as somebody in the electronics industry, it is my opinion that we've kind of hit like the maximum we're going to be able to do. Without like very incremental improvements, and if people could yell at me and be like, "But the Steam Deck, Thatch, it's so much better."
There was that quote unquote superconductor news this week.
Oh, don't get me started on LK99. Don't get me started on LK99. But that's like directly my field, actually.
I know.
Don't get me started on LK99.
I knew I could throw out that bait.
but it was yeah, you're only going to get so far. And even if you look at the Steam Deck, has anybody who says the Steam Deck exists as like an argument against the Nintendo Switch being underpowered actually held a Steam Deck?
Part of me wanted one, but then
going to tell you that they weigh significantly more than a Nintendo Switch because I have held one and they are very hefty. Mm-hmm. So and that's how they fit all that power in there, is because they like bulked it up like crazy. And I mean, not to mention like thermal issues, but that's a whole other thing. But yeah, moving on. Yeah. We have some other things going on.
Also, I am excited about playing the TCG on Switch because I enjoyed I have the virtual console one on my DS. And now it's like I get to do the coin flipping executor deck on the Switch. That's my
favorite.
That
was a fun
deck.
Little game a long time ago.
My little favorite deck because it just coins flipping.
I would love like a modern version of this. I would love a modern version of that game. It would be great. But Seth, let us on to the new things.
Yeah, speaking of other Nintendo Switch Online things, some Pokemon-themed icons have returned and there are some new ones added. So week one, apparently, you can get Mew and Mewtwo added to the old lineup. They refresh on Tuesday evenings for the next 5 weeks. And I think it says here week 3 and 4 look the most new stuff, look like the most have the most new stuff with the new Elite Four members and Ogerpon and Terrapagos in it. So if you want to have a new icon, you can grab those.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Funny enough, 5 weeks. Isn't that when Teal Mask drops? Ooh,
just about right. Yeah. It's Shark. It's you now.
All right. They have a new animated short series called Paldean Winds, releasing September 6th. It's very similar to like the Twilight Wings and Hisuian Snow ones in that terms of like really high quality animation for the short series. So that does look pretty good so far, just from the little trailer they dropped during the present. It's worth a watch. Probably just gets you hyped for the DLC coming up here. So. Mm-hmm.
Additionally, let's see, they showed a trailer for the new anime on the presents, but they also did not tell us when it was happening.
Yeah.
As is usual, the new, like, Horizons looks interesting based on what I have seen come out of Japan so far. I am still shocked that we don't somehow have, like, a simulcast with a sub.
Yeah.
It's the year of our Lord 2023 Pokemon, just throwing it out there.
Come on now.
And continuing, by the way, there's probably going to be some new news coming out all month, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Because
we're at that point.
The Pokemon Worlds ends tomorrow as of recording, yesterday as of release. And we will be able to get a bunch of new news, or at least something that explains like a new TCG mechanic, maybe, and potentially something that. Explains some new mechanic in the DLC for competitive Pokemon.
Yeah, they've said something's coming tomorrow morning, so who knows? Yep. Or during closing, I don't know if that's
Actually this like within like the next couple hours for us in all honesty.
Actually, yeah, that's well, we've got the top four now for TCG, so they have to do their things, and then it's the closing ceremony after that.
Yep.
So
whatever.
It's soon.
Yeah, no, it'll be either tonight at like you know, 7-8 East, like 8 Eastern-ish, or it'll be like after all the final matches, which then would put it, you know, like at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., you know.
Our time.
When you wake up, we'll be like, what the heck did they drop?
Exactly.
All the, all our British and European and Australian friends will be like, oh my goshing before us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Additionally, influencers were invited by Pokemon Worlds. We're given a tea set with the DLC logo and the date 8/22/23 on it as well.
I'm real curious about whatever that is.
Matcha Sinistea incoming. Here we go.
I hope so, because that'd be cool.
What they did this before, so they'll do there. There'll be something. It was definitely like a smaller drop, but it's definitely like regional four level type of thing. I'm trying to remember what they did last time. They dropped a Pokemon. Just don't remember which
they
one.
They definitely did.
I don't either.
They did Cyclizard last.
I mean, not the world's one, but the one with the teeth. Like they did this thing where they gave a bunch of influencers a box with the date. It might have been what's the dog's name?
Grievard?
Yeah, it might have been Grievard.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
It might have been Grievard.
It's someone like that. It was someone in that realm.
You're right. All right. Take us to Scarlet and Violet news, Seth.
You betcha. So, Mewtwo raids are coming in September. In the lead up to that, though, Blissey are back alongside offensive Pokemon like Scizor and Hydreigon. Then later defensive Pokemon, Hatterene and Florges, I guess.
Those are extra Pokemon to grab alongside. They typically run, like when they do the raid events, there's also, they like the 7-star raid, but they also have 2 big 6-star or 5-star raids that you can grab.
That usually help out. Yeah. They either have good matchups for it or something. Like all these, the rewards they give you are going to help power up your Pokemon. Like, I think the Scizor and Hydreigon will drop, like, Swords Dance, Nasty Plot. Blissey will drop a ton of Terror Shard. So this is, like, good way. Like, if you're trying to get your Pokemon set up for the DLC in general, this is a good way to just start grinding up these.
Mm-hmm.
Get all your resources. Get your experience candies. Get your, you know, this, that, and the others. It'll make your life super easy.
Yeah. But in addition to the Mewtwo, we've also got Mew being just distributed to everybody, and the whole gimmick behind that was that it has a random Terra type, so it's quote-unquote your own personal Mew. And you can do that by entering the code GETYOURMEW, with the O obviously being a zero, now through September 17th. So grab your Mew, folks. It's a mythical, and it's a legitimately obtained mythical. Yay!
I kind of like that. I like the idea of getting your own Mew. I think it's very cute. I also really like the idea of, I wish it wasn't like Terra types. I wish it was just like, here's a random marker, set of marks it can have.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
That like you could get, and then it feels more personalized to you at that point.
Like they have one of those titles or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, it's all about getting the mightiest mark on it anyway when it fights the Mewtwo, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Shark, we got other things happening.
Yeah, one of the new features that's just generally going to be updated throughout with DLC is that they're going to do mass outbreak events. So in addition to having these raid events, they will have more outbreaks centered around certain Pokemon. The first one being Clefairy, with a higher chance of having an upbeat starting
in specifically
the last week of
September. These are specifically for like the Pokemon with in the DLC, too, that they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep. They appear. Yeah, it'll be in the regular area and the DLC. So
I think it's to make the Pokemon more available to people who don't have the DLC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to the base game too, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. King Gambit's not banned from OU. Moving on.
Yay.
Pokemon Unite. Seth, tell us more.
Yeah, we've got Mewtwo Y hitting the field on the 17th. So we've got just a few days till that comes out.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah. They've been really going hard with the legends and how crazy they are upon release. But, you know, that's a strategy cycle where you make something really strong on release, then nerf it back to the down, you know, after people have bought it. But anyway, taking off my tinfoil hat, as of recording, right now anyway, the Unite World Champion is Luminosity, becoming back-to-back World Championships, but we'll see if that remains true here by the time this show comes out and it's all done. So, yeah,
that's the
they're done. They're done.
That's it.
Yeah, okay. Well,
they were the
congratulations.
They were the first and second Unite champs.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. They're
good
the best
them.
Team in the NA right now. So,
well done.
Yep. All right, Pokemon Go, you've got this.
All right, the Noxious Swamp event runs from August 19th through the 22nd, and as well for coming in September, the Paldean Pokemon are going to start arriving in Pokemon Go. Exciting. You'll get
Sobble, Scorbunny, and Grookey all cry.
Oh, sure.
They're not in the game yet.
Aren't they?
I think you're right. Oh, well. What the heck?
I am right. Hold on. I am right.
Oh, no.
It might just be.
They have a bunch of Galar Pokemon. Like, this event right now for Worlds, they have Wooloo. They've got Scorbunny in the game generally. But I think you're right. Oh, my gosh.
I am right. I know I'm right.
Oh, no.
Pokemon Go is funny.
Why did I just now notice that? Oh, no.
Pokemon Go is
poor
funny.
Poor guys.
In the TCG, they announced a new TCG animation called Path to the Peak, and I'm gonna read this news bit as R. Sigma wrote it. The main character uses an Oddish to ensure Claude watches. The story probably won't go as far enough to show the main character losing all her friends by playing Item Locked and Expanded. The first episode is already out. I actually watched it already, and it's surprisingly silly. It's weird watching like a Pokemon animation that's set in like the real world.
Yeah. That's odd.
But my only problem is like they have like one gimmick they're trying to run with this show, and I think they're running it a little too hard and it might get run into the ground. They do this thing where like this kid is like having these moments where she is like hitting these epiphanies with these cards, and like there's these like really grandiose moments where she's staring at this energy that's calling at her to the Oddish, and she's like in the middle of a match, and her friend Joshua, who she's playing against, she's like Joshua, do you see this? And then it cuts and it's just her like holding the card out in front of her as everybody's awkwardly around her. But they do this like constantly throughout the show. It's funny, and it's not that it doesn't land, it's just that it happens a lot. Within like 10 minutes, it happens like 3 or 4 times.
No, Joshua, right? My grandmother's deck has no pathetic cards.
Well, all of the cards are her mom's cards, and they are like the EX, like the old like Gen 3 cards. They were like all Gen 3 cards.
Really?
She was playing. Wow. Yeah, it was very cute. The callback. It had some deep cuts in it. And yeah, we'll have to see how it progresses. Huh. I wish they would have just like dumped it all, because there's no way this is more than like 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want them to dump it and just let me see, but we'll see. All right. Talk about some things, Seth.
Yeah. So there's a new Worlds promo as of this year. So instead of the typical give out of Champions Festival, which caused a lot of hubbub if you've been paying attention back a couple months ago, It's a brand new Worlds promo, a new card with a new effect. It is Paradise Resort. What does it do, you ask? Well, this is going to be meta-defining. All your Psyducks have one less retreat cost.
Yep.
Yay.
If only it wasn't outshined by Beach.
That's not gonna be meta-defining and randomly have a blitz of trying to buy all of them so that you can run them in your Gardevoir deck. That's not gonna happen.
It doesn't matter anyway. There's a new stadium that's coming out.
That was the thing, and that's why the price doubled. Yeah. So they made sure that the promo for Worlds is a promo for Worlds, basically. It might as well have the effect, you went to Worlds. Congratulations.
Well, they've kind of had this in the past, too, with, like, the top, like, 4 cards. Because, like, they have cards that you get that are just like, here's a trophy. And the card's a trophy. And that's what the Worlds promo should be.
Yeah.
It should just be, here's a card that is something that shows that you made it all the way here. And you could keep it, you could sell it, who cares? It's yours to do with what you wish. With as you wish. And then there's one last thing, Shark.
Yep. I know y'all can talk more about how good it is or not, but TMs are returning, and Pokemon access to an additional move for a turn on a tool.
Yeah, it's actually not terrible. It's the ones that they have shown so far. There's like one that's kind of like a baby Arceus attack, a baby Trinity charge. For like one colorless, you can attach 2 energy to any of your bench Pokemon. So it's bench Pokemon, which is a big deal to actually. And then on top of that, they also had another one that was kind of like a snipe shot, essentially. But it was 3 colorless for like 100 damage on any of your opponent's Pokemon that haven't taken any damage yet.
haven't? I thought it was.
No, no.
That have damage counters on them.
I thought it was didn't have damage counters on them. Hmm. I don't know. It's very new. I'm not going to quote. Don't quote me.
Yeah, Translight could be wrong even if we're right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's actually, I mean, they look fun. We'll have to see. All right. Well, Puckle's pokey opinion at the end, taking advantage of the TCG knowledgeable co-host. if you could ban one card from the standard format, what would it be? I don't think there's anything that's like really destroying the format right now, right? Like
Lugia.
Okay, stop. It's not Lugia. That good. No, stop.
I just don't want to see it. It's not if you could improve the metagame. It's just if I could ban something, yes, what would I ban? Lugia.
Yes. Well, the metagame actually right now is very fair, in my opinion.
It really is. It really is.
The metagame is actually really fair right now. Like, literally any deck could win Worlds, in my opinion. Granted, we know the top four, but...
I think one of the finalists just got finished here. I just switched.
Was it Azul?
I think it might have been the Gardevoir. EX
okay, Tord.
Deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gardevoir is... Yep. I mean, I think Gardevoir is fine. I don't think anything is meta-breaking. I honestly would have said Lugia maybe before rotation, or at least, like, powerful energy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because powerful energy is really what made Lugia, like, really busted. And, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of where I would probably... but right now, everything's, like, really balanced. There's not, mm-hmm. like, a... There's no tier S deck or tier 0 deck.
Yeah.
They're all on
it's
the same
nice.
Tier. Yeah, and so I still... I mean, it's why Giratina, Arc Giratina does so well. It never wins, but it does well. It's just because...
It's stable. Arceus variants are very stable game.
It's not even that it's stable. The reason it works is because you literally just bank on decks not working.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just judge path constantly.
Yep.
To make it so that they can't play the game.
Or Iona path. Either one is evil.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. You can just keep going. But yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. I don't know. Honestly, maybe I'd ban Charizard. Maybe I'd ban this new Charizard only
before
because
it even comes out.
I don't think it's even good. I don't like it's probably like it's probably gonna be an okay deck that can exist. Like I might because like right now everybody's overhyping it, I think, right now, because they want to hype something new. And there's like two real quote decks coming out of Obsidian Flames that they really
Glimmora
and Charizard. And maybe you could argue Toadscruel. Maybe. and there's just not a lot coming out otherwise. So I think people are just like trying to hype it up, like new cards look cool. And I think Charizard might end up being like a tier 2 deck at the end of the day when everything shakes out. Hmm. Maybe if it's tier 1, I could see it be tier 1. The only reason I think Charizard's tier 1 probably is because it's so fat
and very like, powerful.
Yeah, well, 330 HP is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like you can extend in a lot of decks and hit 310, which hits Gardevoir specifically, but also a few other Pokemon that are big in the format. Like 280, 310, you can extend. You can get that Oko occasionally, not consistently every turn, but you can extend. And the Charizard at 330 is just so hard to hit. It's just so hard. So just something, some food for thoughts.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. Our first question this week is going to come to you from Liger, the Trivia Master himself. Ooh. What Pokemon has been given away via event for the most Pokemon from the most Pokemon World teams? I just wanted to ask this because it's...
It's got to be the boy. It's got to be
the boy. The slug himself.
It is Gastrodon. It is Gastrodon. Yeah. I am very upset about this fact, by the way. Like, I understand Gastrodon's good in VGC, but maybe they could have chosen anything else to be given away.
Nah, man. Everyone's got to get their Gastrodon.
Fun fact, only three of the five that have been given away, four of them have been EC, and only of them is one of them has been West C.
Good. The correct Gastrodon.
West C is, no, it's the wrong one. West C is
that's the wrong. Yeah.
Gross.
Which one's the blue one?
That's the East one.
Oh, that's the right
one.
That's
the wrong one.
Yeah. That's the right one. See, I agree with Seth on this one, actually.
No, thank you. Pink one's way better.
All right. Well, our next, yes, one for one. Your next question is going to come to you from 2Crow48. The question is, attacks are adjusted from generation to generation, but what attack has had the highest boost in damage from one generation to the next?
Ooh.
Okay.
Part
of me says knockoff because I believe it used to be 15 base power and now it can get up to like 97.
That this one, means actual base power, like if you read the description, Seth, not like what the effective base power is.
So it would be 65 from either 15 or 25. I thought it was like 25.
Something maybe like that.
It was something low.
It was really stupid.
I think I'm kind of right now, I think explosion or self-destruct upped about 50 base power between a generation, but I don't know if that's
to make
enough
up for the fact that they don't have defense anymore.
Yeah, I think they went up 50, but I don't know for certainty that there's something else. Who would have gotten a big boost? Rapid Spin's not enough because it's only capped at 50.
Rapid Spin was another one that used to be like 15 or 25 base power.
Mm-hmm. But that's still 50, and that's still not enough. Yeah. I'm trying to think what other move. Big power boost.
Yeah. It wouldn't be like Doom Desire. That got up something, but it wasn't that.
Ooh. Future Sight went up. I know, Future Sight went up
80 to
30,
120.
Or, okay, 40.
40. Okay. That's still not beating the explosion buff.
I feel like it's, because I don't think.
Yeah.
I feel like explosion went up 50.
I feel like it's going to be some weird legendary signature move that they felt like, we need to go ahead and just juice this a little bit. Like, I don't know. Like, multi-attack went, I think, like, a couple something, but not 50. So, yeah, I'm comfortable with explosion.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with that.
Explosion is unfortunately incorrect. Answer is going to be Leech Life.
Oh
gosh,
shoot.
Yeah, no, that went up.
It went up 60
higher.
Points. It went from 20 to 80 to the point where they go, Zubat, you can't have this anymore.
Yeah.
You get Zubat gets absorbed.
Absorbed now.
Stupid.
Which is even worse.
Mm-hmm. They nerfed the early gen, but they made it better long term for sure.
Yeah,
Leech Life. Yeah, no. The moment you said Leech Life, yeah, no, that's 100% right. That was definite.
Yeah, it went from 20 to 80. It was pretty big. All right. Well, your next question is your Pokedex entry question. As always, you are one for two. This one is going to come from Dragon Tamer Nick. The question is, the first entry is from Pokemon Violet, and it states, it lives deep within the forest. Even after evolving into this splendid form, it hasn't given up on its petty misdeeds and pranks. Who's that Pokemon?
Oh, okay. Lives in forest, is a prankster, becomes beautiful, was a prankster and more of a jerk in its pre-evolution. I'm getting stupid fairy vibes.
Like a certain fairy that never got an official announcement trailer?
No, it wouldn't be that one, because it's not a splendid form when it goes into Grimmsnarl.
Well, it's got, well, at least in the middle stage, Morgrem has nice hair.
I mean, it's still like, not a splendid form, though.
Let's see what other options are there.
Yeah,
I definitely think
Infinite
is a backup form or backup option.
Yeah, well, it would be the Morgrem because it's talking about the evolution.
Okay.
Even if it's even after it's gotten this splendid form, it didn't. Whatever. Okay. What are other silly prankster
fairy
guys in Violet?
On Violet. Okay, Violet.
Yeah, in Violet. Key point there.
Key point Violet is helpful.
That
it narrows down. We have 400 Pokemon to pick from.
And there are not many fairies. Not a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, gosh. It's not Azumarill. It's not Florgy.
No.
Fine.
No.
Maybe. So No, I don't think they're really.
No, they're more. They're more
jiggles,
frightened.
They're fairies. Doc Spun.
Gosh, I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Got... Well, it's not an amorous.
We might be getting caught on the fairy thing. Is there something dark that might be there? Like pranksters. Annoying little pranksters. Like, what? Does something have prankster? I mean, Morgrem's not a bad choice if we're stuck. And we can get the second entry. We can figure it out from there.
You're a legend. Kind of fine on Morgrem.
Yeah, I don't think it's the answer.
I can't think of any good other fairies and darks that quite hit the realm of that.
Yeah.
But I'm blanking on all of them right now. Like, I'm trying to think about, because I literally just did a draft of, like, where I didn't get a fairy. Like, I had to get Mimikyu as my fairy when I already had Spectrier. So,
mm-hmm.
I was like, all the fairies were just getting sniped, and I was just trying to think in my head. I'm like, what other fairies got sniped from me? And I'm like, I can't remember them all.
Yeah.
They weren't that good.
I guess we'll just lock in Morgrem for now get it wrong and get the second entry.
Morgrem, I'm going to give it to you only because it's Grimmsnarl.
Okay. That was going to be our next guess.
But I will take it for you.
It was one of those, yeah.
So the second entry is going to be from S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's going to say, its hairs work like muscle fibers.
Yep. Okay.
When its hair unfurls, they latch onto opponents, ensnaring them as tentacles would.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we would have gotten it then.
Yeah, no. I was in that realm. All right. I feel good.
All right. So you guys are 3-for-3 now. You guys have your next question, which is your multiple answer question, as always. We are going to go ahead, and we are going to ask you this question from Snackard. This has 4 answers. I will give you 1 point for each question you get correct, or for one answer. If you get all 4, bonus points.
Yay!
Because Pokemon Stadium 2 is released this week.
Yeah!
The 4 additional Pokemon you can play as in Pokemon Stadium 2 minigames after connecting your controller to a Game Boy game via the transfer pack?
Oh, no.
I actually know
I
these.
I have zero.
I could give you at least 3 of these right off the bat.
Oh no!
Good. Could you go ahead and give them
so it's
to
not
us?
So just to answer the question, like clarify, these are not the same. Like, there's mini games already with Pokemon Stadium 2, so there's more mini games that only work.
So when you would connect your Game Boy Transfer Pack, if you had a certain Pokemon on your game, they would be the Pokemon you play as in the mini game.
There
were extra Pokemon that could play with those. There were extra Pokemon that would play with those that only would come if you connected your Game Boy to it.
Okay, I can name one, and that's Scizor.
That is correct.
That Scizor, one is for the Pincer Scyther
cutting game, yeah.
Okay, alright, that's where... Because that was the only thing I've done in Pokemon Stadium 2. I didn't have it as a kid. I only played it once at one of my friend's house. Once, maybe twice.
Same.
And I just played the Pokemon Stadium 2 minigames. That's all I've done.
Why would you play anything else in Pokemon Stadium? It's fine.
Yeah, that's fair. And I'm trying to think. Okay, because the games that are there, there's Delibird with the presents. There's Delibird with presents. There's the Chopping minigame. There's a Furret game, which I don't think there would be another Pokemon for. There's a Mr. Mime Barrier game.
You guys do have the hint, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we have the hint. Let's just cash in that hint.
Because we can't, yeah.
So I'm going to give you the games that there are that these Pokemon belong to.
That'll at least help me out a little bit.
And I will probably tell you the type of the Pokemon that also is accessible through this. So there was the Furret game, where you could jump and hit the ball with the Furrets. There was a Psychic-type Pokemon that could also participate in this game. With the Furrets, if you had in your game. There's the Pichu game, where you would go ahead and power up things. Another electric-type Pokemon with that Pichu game would also be available. Additionally, there is the Togepi Roll game, where a water-type Pokemon could be used.
Okay, if it's a Roll game,
some of these Pokemon could have dual types. They could have dual types. I didn't want to give you... Because if I give you the dual types, I think it gives it away.
If you told us a Water Fairy, we would obviously know Meryl is the rolling one.
Well, I would think it's still Meryl because it's going to be the rolling one.
Yeah.
You guys do have 3 strikes and then you're out.
We're locking that in as our Meryl.
Meryl's incorrect, 1,000%.
Wow. Okay, we're good.
Okay, cool. All right. Another water type that rolls.
that could roll. As if something were helical.
Oh. Helix fossil.
Then it would. Yeah, okay. It is Almanite.
Almanite is correct.
What a weird guy to throw.
Almanite is correct. Yeah, okay. That's 2 points. You just need one more.
Okay, so the Pichu game, just to remind you, Seth, it is literally the same as the Pikachu game in Pokemon Stadium, you have to change the Pichu's direction to where it charges as well as the color of the button. So it could be Voltorb, just because it is Pichu. It's like, well, you might throw a Voltorb in there.
But yeah. Yep. It's
either Pichu or Elekid are the two that I would that scream to me in that one.
Yep.
I feel like the answer is simpler than you're thinking it is.
Is it going to be Pikachu? That's my thought.
Oh, yeah. That was just the other choice. I should have said that.
Hello, too. I am electric. And
hello,
my brother.
I am electric.
Yeah, so Pikachu.
Pikachu is correct.
Yay.
That's all 3 points for you. The one that's in the front.
Drowsy?
No, it is Girafarig.
My gosh, that's so I get it. I see it now.
Girafarig would play in the Sphyret game. Yeah.
Yay.
It was a big thing because I remember spending a lot of time. I had a good friend when I was growing up, and we would play hours and hours and hours of Pokemon together. And he, hence my obsession probably to some extent, we've loved experimenting with this kind of stuff and trying to figure out like which Pokemon we could get to happen. Right. Like I remember back when answering machines existed. God, we were talking about gray hairs. We would actually, I was at his house and we both evolved our Scythers into Scissors together. And we were trying to figure out like when it learns like a steel type move. Right. And so like on my way home, he calls me because he figured it out. And he like left an answer on the answering machine. He's like, it learns it at level 35. It learns it at level 35. Just get it there. good times. All right. Well, your final question. You guys are 6-4-4 or whatever it is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This question is going to come to you from Lambo. Lambo wants to know, which Pokemon with the sturdy ability has the highest base speed?
Fast sturdy boys. Those are contradictory terms.
Yeah.
Who sturdy? The heck has sturdy? I mean, you've got Fortress, like the Gravelers. You've got
Skarmory's got 70.
Bulldoor line. Who the heck has sturdy?
I mean, like Skarmory's coming to mind. We're going to miss something very obvious. I can feel it.
We've got
random
Crustle
fast
gets
run.
It.
That's not faster than Skarmory.
Magnezone line.
Magneton, I think, has
70 because Magnezone's 60.
Yeah, so Magnezone and Skarmory, I think, are about the same. How am I getting stumped on a sturdy question?
Garganachi.
I'm going to need an answer here, guys.
I kind of want to just say Magneton, yeah.
Let's go with that. I don't know.
Lock in, baby!
Magneton is unfortunately incorrect. You did get the typing correct, though. The answer is Togedemaru.
Goodness, I forgot that thing.
The answer is
it has good abilities, but it's just not good move.
Good, yeah. Togedemaru has got a base speed of 96.
Oh.
Second place goes to Sock with 85. Third place is a three-way tie between Skarmory, Magneton, and Onix, all with 70.
Oh.
weren't far off. But,
You guys were on the right track, but I had to cut you off because you weren't getting anywhere close. You guys weren't getting anywhere close. So that does give you guys 6 points for today. It does change up our standings, maybe. I don't know, actually.
Moves me up a little bit, but that's about it.
Only a little bit, actually. I didn't actually have to resort anything. In first place, we got Seth Vilo with 25 points.
Yeah.
In second place, now instead of a two-way tie, it's a three-way tie between Mark, Linian, and Shark with 14 points. In fifth place, we've got Sublime with 8. In sixth place, we've got Sigma with 7. In seventh place, we've got a three-way tie between Whimsicott, Shamu, and Jushiro all at 6. Everybody else has yet to get on the board. And by everybody else, I mean Claude. But he's been doing his show. I think he's on next week, actually.
He's probably going to come back in full force. Based
oh, he's coming back with a vengeance. He's coming back with a vengeance. I guarantee it. Coming back with a vengeance. Because there is a week.
I missed 20 episodes. He's going to be on 20 episodes.
Yeah.
If we don't stop him.
If we don't stop him, he'll just run the show. It's fine. There's a couple of weeks where I need you guys to do it anyway in October, so we'll figure that out.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll be fine. He'll lead the ship.
Yep. All right. So that is going to be it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. If you guys want more of that, check it out next week. Until then, we're going to kick it on over to the topic.
Are you addicted to cardboard like myself and Seth? Maybe you want to pick up a booster box of Obsidian Flames next week. Well, the best way to do it is to support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout. Whenever you do so, we get a small kickback, and we really appreciate the support. So make sure, if you're buying anything, whether it's Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, you can head on over to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout. Get a 5% kickback for using the code and supporting the show. We appreciate everything you guys do, and we will catch you on the flip-flop.
Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be the Pokemon Presents. We're going to mostly focus on the DLC that dropped, since during the new segment you definitely heard us talk about a bunch of the random stuff that dropped. And honestly, I'm not talking about Pokemon Masters or Pokemon Cafe Remix.
What? What are those?
Yep. That's exactly the feeling that you should have.
Yep.
They dropped Sleep News too. You can sleep in full moons.
Stop.
Sleep events. What?
We did get a release date for the Teal Mask of September 13th, 2023, which is very exciting. That's like in a month.
Way sooner.
Especially like after the show comes out. That's less than a month. Woo!
I'm actually pretty hyped. That's pretty hype. I'm very excited for it.
I was expecting like November, honestly.
I would say October.
I was expecting September based on a lot of things.
Yeah.
I assumed it was just going to come out in September, so I'm very grateful that it is coming out in September.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset that they didn't send us, like, with how long we had to wait for the Teal Mask release date. I was kind of hoping they would just drop both release dates at the same time.
Yeah, I expect no, but who knows?
It's fine. I mean, they're just going to wait until December, essentially, because I'm pretty sure the Indigo Disc isn't going to release until December. Teal Mask was supposed to be fall 2023, so that's why we get Teal Mask now, and then we'll get, my assumption is probably somewhere very early December.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We'll get Indigo Disc, which will be fun. My favorite time of year, honestly, is during the release of a new Pokemon game during the winter.
Yeah, right?
Honestly, winter and fall time Pokemon game releases are something just like it just like injects like dopamine into my brain. Some of my favorite memories, I hate that this is a decade old memory now. Like when X and Y came out, my favorite memory is just like having it in the middle of October. And it's cool enough that you can have the windows open in your house and just like smelling the fall air, playing my Pokemon game, having an adventure of a lifetime.
I feel you. That's true.
And we get to do that again here with this one. And then I also just like cozying up and like playing the game. So I'm very excited to be able to do that this winter with Indigo Disc. So yeah, there was a lot dropped.
No kidding.
The first things I want to talk about are Driplin and Archaldeodon, only because I have feelings.
All right.
When they announced like Driplin, one, I thought it was just going to Applin form.
Diplin, yeah. Not Drip. You don't have that Drip.
Diplin, my bad. Diplin is just like a new evolution for Applin.
Applin.
Which is fine. I think it's fine. It's kind of cool because you probably just feed it like another apple or something and it evolves into this. Or you feed it some kind of caramel.
Oh, yeah. It's probably all it is. Maybe some, like, whatever syrup thing that it's all covered.
Yeah, or you give it, like, a syrup or something, and it eats that and it evolves that way. It's actually kind of wild. It does get a couple new moves. Syrup Bomb is a grass-type special attack that causes an explosion of syrup. The move coats the target in syrup and causes its speed stat to lower each turn for 3 turns.
That's silly. I love that.
It's very cute. I expect this to be on par with App. With like Appleton and Flapple. A lot of people have been talking about how they want this to evolve. And I'm like, I don't think that like you actually pay attention to like what how big Appleton is or how big Flapple is. Like this is on par with their sizes and everything.
They're teeny. They're all a foot tall.
It's more like Flapple. Appleton is just giant. There's a, like, well, giant relative to Apple.
Yeah, but it's not much bigger. It's not that much bigger, though.
It's a foot tall.
It's not much bigger, but it could have gone bigger because, I mean, Appleton is literally a giant apple pie.
It's shorter than this.
Yeah, it's actually shorter than Diplin.
Diplin, because of the antenna.
Is that? I think Appleton is like 2 or 3 feet. I'm pretty sure.
This one I don't have like a huge issue with. I think it's fine. The one that I had a bigger issue with was when they announced Archaludon. I'm going to have such a hard time saying this for so many reasons. Because one, it's just very awkward to say. But two, it's very similar to Archduraldon.
Yeah.
Apparently, Duraldon now evolves into a bridge.
Yep.
Because that makes sense. Building to bridge.
Okay, I looked it up. Actually, Diplin and Appleton are the same height of 1'4".
Oh, okay.
Appleton will look taller because it's all body, not just apple plus antenna. So they're the same height. They're teeny.
They are the so, yeah.
I mean, it's cute. I just saw these evolutions, though. I should note that Archaludon gets its own move as well. It gets an electric-type move called Electroshot. It can it boosts it. It's a two-turn attack where it charges up and boosts its special attack and then fires it off next turn. However, when it's raining, it just happens in one turn. So it's like Solar Beam, but...
It's like Meteor Solar Beam is kind of like the hybrid of it.
Meteor Solar Beam, because special attack. And so Power Herb, Archaludon's going to be stupid.
Yeah. Also, Duraldon's stats weren't that bad, right? It's like base stat total of 535.
Yeah, so Eviolite that sucker, and we're going crazy.
I'm terrified of Eviolite Duraldon, in all honesty.
It doesn't have great attacking sets. That's the issue. It doesn't...
It's got like 115 special.
That's fine. That's Lucario's special stat.
Yeah.
It needs an item to boost that as special attack.
Oh, pardon me. No, it's 120. It's 120 special attack, 115 defense.
That's better than Lucario.
And then with the 50 special defense, which is always its weak point, now Eviolite that, now you're balanced, and you have stupid physical defense.
Yeah, that would be the big thing, we'll see.
And you could just Dragon Pulse, Flash Cannon, whatever the heck you want to do, for a lot. Or it's Stealth Rock.
It also gets stamina? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the evolution does. Archaludon.
Yeah, Archaludon gets it.
That's going to be dumb.
I'm actually like really, I don't know, I'm still kind of torn on this. Because one, this is very reminiscent of like the last time we've had a Pokemon the generation after it was announced get an evolution, I believe was Roserade.
Oh no. Duraludon gets Body Press. Oh no.
Did it make it to Scarlet Violet?
Oh no. Of course it made it to Scarlet Violet, and it gets it. TR99.
Okay.
Oh no. Stamina Body Press? Gosh.
It's fine.
Oh no.
It really is fine. I mean, Mudsdale gets it, and it's fine.
Like a scissor type deal, though, too, where like its defenses don't go up as much. It don't go up or anything.
Maybe.
It could be like that.
Maybe. But even then, 120 with stamina. Hit me. Make me stronger, you fool. It's going to be stupid.
I mean, it'll be fun.
And then it becomes like a weird mixed attacker because it's got physical moves that are crazy and then special moves.
I just didn't expect, like, Gen 8 Pokemon to be getting evolutions in Gen 9.
Oh, yeah, no, that threw me off. I would not have expected that at all.
That threw me off a lot. I mean, the last time it happened was, like I said, Roserade.
Roserade, yeah.
Which is kind of nuts to think about.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of any other Hisui Pokemon, and all those are older.
They have been really good about trying to actually go back to form and actually give old Pokemon new evolutions. Like, we got for a giraffe or whatever it is, mm-hmm. For a giraffe, and which is still a cool Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate seeing love. And like, I guess if you have an idea and you think it's going to be solid and not just a bridge, it's a good idea to do that.
I think it's real interesting that these are Pokemon that, you know, the Appleton line had the other evolutions get Gigantamax forms, which are unique to themselves. Duraludon got a Gigantamax form, which is unique to it.
That's fair.
And now they're both getting either a branched evolution that is unrelated to Gigantamax at all, or a completely new evolution, so this is like a weird situation where it suddenly becomes a Prevo with a Gigantamax. Like, it's weird. It's weird.
I reconciled, like, I understand a lot of those arguments, because it's kind of like as if, like, let's say Slowbro evolved, and Slowbro has a Mega.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels a little bit like that. I look at Gigantamax, and then I am reconciled very quickly by looking at Gigantamax Pikachu and Gigantamax Eevee, and I know those are, like, semi-special cases.
Eevee, Mew, and Meowth and Pikachu are weird.
Yeah, but I look at those and I go, okay, so like existences of like pre-evolution Pokemon Gigantamaxing already exists.
I think that's a Pikachu rule situation.
I think Pikachu, having that Pikachu rule makes it just like a valid rule so they can break it at any point, right?
It's just interesting to see them revisit things that looked like at the time.
Final evolutions, yeah. I do agree with that, because I did think that Duraludon, and I still kind of feel like Duraludon didn't need to evolve.
Probably not, but like you said, it may be Scizor, who knows?
Exactly, it could be like a Scizor type deal.
Where the numbers don't change.
Yeah, where the numbers don't change.
That would be funny.
I could see that happening, but yeah. These new Pokemon are just wild.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And that's been most of what we've talked about so far. So let's there's some other stuff to talk about.
Well, I guess we can talk about the elephant in the room of the other. Oh, wait, excuse me, the giraffe in the room.
Oh, Raikou and Raging Storm and Iron Crown.
Raging Bolt and Iron Crown. Yes, the paradox of Raikou and Cobalion.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
After looking at the official art, I don't like the way they showed the video of Raging Bolt. Looking at the official art of Raging Bolt, I go, I see it now.
It's a little better. It's a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I see it.
What do you guys think the typing is going to be?
Raging Bolt, I think, will just become Dragon Electric. I think they will probably
Dragon Electric?
Yeah, I think for all three of the Paradox Mons for the, I expect Fire Electric, Fire Dragon.
They're just going to Dragon them?
Yeah, because they're making them dinosaurs.
I buy that.
I don't think I do, personally.
Okay.
I think they're still going to be weird because I don't think they're going to be consistent with it. A lot of others are dinosaurs.
I would love for them to be inconsistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they're each going to have different things because, like, Suicune's a raptor. Raptors are dragony. Giraffes, brontosauruses are not really I think it's going to be electric flying, like, straight up because it's so tall and its head is in the clouds. Like, I think they're going to pull to that and be like, yeah, it's got control of the wind and it can fly. And yeah.
My only issue is I don't think you could say this is immune to earthquake. I don't think you can say
that.
And they're not going to give it a new ability.
Sure you can, because it's actually about its body's in its head.
I do not expect them to be super original about this because a lot of my reasoning is coming down to I do truly believe that the three of these, like when the sets are done, they're going to somehow be able to fuse into the monstrosities we saw in the book. I think it's very possible.
No.
I think it's very possible. I think they're going to be able to fuse somehow, or at least like into like some boss or something that we have to find.
Kyurem style. There you go. You make it like a Kyurem style Megamorph, all three of them, and then you get Legends Kyurem. There you go. That's how it does it. Boom, boom.
I do legitimately believe that they are all going to be able to fuse at some point, whether it's just like as a boss fight or something, as something that you can actually collect. So I think they're going to all just have like one type in common so that when they fuse, the fusion has that type plus some other type. Or maybe they pull something off kind of like what we expect with Terrapagos, like having multiple types. They can pull it out where when they fuse, they like choose a random type or something based on...
I hate this.
Or something like that. I mean, because my full expectation is for Iron Crown to be just like Steel Psychic. What about Metagross Scream Psychic type? Like,
it's a computer.
Okay, this is a robot. This is a robot Cobalion. Like, it's smart too.
We have no gauge of its intelligence. We have no idea. It could be a big dumb boy.
I don't think so. It's from the future. Future things are smart.
Oh boy, that's an opinion.
Future thing. Well, in Pokemon, future things are smart.
I don't know. I expect something totally off the walls for these two typing wise.
Maybe. I think it's going to be boring, Seth. That's going to be boring. I will be more than happy to eat crow if I'm wrong, because I would love for it to be interesting, but I just do not expect it to be interesting.
Crown. Yeah, no, that fits in my head here, because Crown would be more Steel type.
I expect them to have their non-fighting types from when they were Musketeers, plus Psychic instead of fighting.
My only question is there going to be Iron Keldeo or not?
Probably not. I mean, because there's no equivalent like that for Raikou, Entei, and Suicune.
Yeah, that's my thinking too. But
there's no equivalent for that, and I don't think it's necessary either, right? Like, part of me doesn't go, "Oh man, the set's not complete." Well, to be fair, we all thought that like maybe we'd only get the two that we got in terms of Walking Wake and Iron Leaves. I do have to say Iron Crown, though, is probably my favorite Future Paradox Pokemon design-wise.
Really? Okay.
I think it looks sharp. I think it looks sharp.
Fair enough. I'm curious if they're going to be in... I think the going thing, theory-wise, is they're going to be an Indigo Disc, but I have seen no confirmation on if they're in Teal Mask or Indigo Disc, so...
My personal opinion is that, since they said the DLC all ties back to Paldea and Area Zero anyway, my expectation is that, like, we're going to take care of, like, the Ogre Pond storyline, and we're going to be like, oh, something happened in Area Zero, and we're going to find one of the two there?
Maybe. Well, they're version exclusive, so that we would find the one.
Well, yeah, we'll find, but by one of the two, I mean, because we're obviously getting like an Entei and a Terrakion at this point.
Oh, got it.
Right? We're obviously getting those.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you'll see, like, at the end of Teal Mask, it'll be one, and then at the end of Indigo Disc, it'll be the other.
That makes sense, yeah.
I could see that for sure.
That's my honest opinion. Yeah, we did get some cool, interesting news from Ogre Pond. Like, we did see that it gets a Terrastal form.
And it got hands.
And I don't know if it's got hands or vines, in all honesty. Yeah, yes. The mask just gets really big on Ogre Pond when it terrastalizes. I wish we got any more information.
And there was the clip of the mask falling down the stairs, so it at some point detaches.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if the mask is actually part of Ogre Pond at all, to begin with, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
So the thing that, okay, like, Pokemon's doing a really good job, if I lived in Japan, of hyping me up for this, because... The anime has Liko not following any of these stories, but Liko has that pendant on her chest, has that pendant, and that pendant has the combination of the jewel that's on Terrapagos's back plus the gem that's on Ogre Pond's mask.
Yep, exactly.
And they're obviously connected somehow. The thing that got me in this trailer, by the way, even in the Blue Carry Academy sections, was that terrestrialization is just happening everywhere, by the way.
Yeah.
What?
Well, is it everywhere? We don't know if that's just back to Paldea, if it follows you. Did they? Okay.
They used it at the Blueberry Academy. They used it at the Blueberry Academy, and I believe they showed it in Kitakami as well.
Okay. Got it. I couldn't tell. Like, I'm looking at the background of Ogre Pond, and I can't tell where they are.
I don't know if they're just, like, importing it, though. They could just be importing it somehow.
We'll find out. They introduced a new character from Blueberry Academy that is interested in studying that phenomena.
Yes.
The one who's a descendant of Heath and is totally not the villain of the story. Totally not. Definitely no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The lady who's wearing, like, scarlet pants and a violet shirt.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And has vertical pupils.
Literally the markings from the... Oh, yeah, it's Briar.
Vertical snake eye pupils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friendly.
It's fine.
And then there's the totally not a descendant of Adamant who's going to have you do pictures.
So I actually really like...
It's both. It's Adamant and Irida. It's both.
And Irida. Yep, totally. 100%.
I do like Perrin. I think Perrin is a very... I don't like Perrin per se. I like Perrin's minigame.
It's Pokemon Snap!
It's Pokemon Snap, but with an objective. And I like it. So I am all about it. There's a lot. They announced like a couple mini games.
Yeah, no, you've got that, and with that, you also get added better camera. You've got a roto stick, which will give you some wider angles, and you can direct Pokemon to walk alongside you to wait in place, so you can get the better photo.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this.
And you can also share photos with people you're playing online with.
I am very excited about this, actually. So I really like it. I also like the nod to Adamant. I don't really like, I know that, I like how they handle the descendants and everything with PLA, by the way. Like, the way they handle it is done so well, where it's just like nods. It's not really very hard and fast, like, this person's a descendant. It's just like, yeah, this probably is.
Yeah, they don't say, yeah, it's just like inspired character design, because you literally look at Perrin and it's like, you obviously, everyone sees Adamant clearly because of the dark blue hair and the kind of the eye shapes and whatnot, but if you look a little closer, just the way the hairstyle is, it's also Irida too, and the little green tips at the base of her hair is the exact same, so I was like, oh, it's literally descended of both of them. Neat!
Yeah, so like Seth was saying, we do have Briar that's coming as well, who is a teacher at the Blueberry Academy, which I think has more to... Well, I guess you get to see her in both places, because you do run into the Blueberry Academy when you are in Kitakami.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. And you meet your friend who's definitely just jealous of you hanging out with other people. That definitely has issues and needs to go to therapy, but...
Yep.
Well, it may also be Ogre Pond.
That student could be Ogre Pond?
I don't know. I just like... I he the way his...
No, I don't like that, because like... I'm thinking like, oh man, the mask turns him into Ogre Pawn. But then I'm like, but we're definitely catching Ogre Pawn, right?
I'm catching my student classmate.
But he was like, he was definitely hinted to be, what's his name? Oh my gosh, I already forgot his name. It was definitely hinted that you were going to be, like, he's going to be the, like, the champion of the Blueberry League because the Blueberry Academy has its own Elite Four.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a champion, and the champion, we got to see, like, a shadow of the champion, and it very much just matches up with his silhouette. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Also, they're making a big deal out of this flying thing on the website.
I am hyped about that. I'm stupidly hyped about that because I grew up playing Spyro the Dragon and doing all those little flying mini games.
No, this is 100%. This is 100%. So what we're talking about is every Blueberry Academy Elite Four, in quotes, member is going to have a trial for you to complete as well. And during one of them, they feed your Baridon / Caridon something that lets it fly instead of just glide.
Mm-hmm. I'm in about that, too.
And that's the only thing they highlighted. Additionally, they like I love the wording on the official press release.
Yeah, it seems this power is only temporary, but perhaps someday this hidden potential will be fully unleashed. ... They said that vocally and on the news article. Like, what?
Yeah, they didn't have to say. They didn't have to say perhaps it would someday be fully unleashed, because that makes me go, man, Seth, we're totally getting DLC 2.
Oh, that's also true too.
Like, that's what makes me think, because this is like the end of the DLC, and they're like, hey, Maridon, Caridon could do like more things, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if we got a second DLC package out of Scarlet and Violet, I would be so excited.
No, see, because when we catch Terrapagos and it can finally edit our Pokemon using the power of our dreams, it unlocks the potential of Maridon and Caridon to their fully imagined forms. Yeah.
Could you imagine how bummed I would be? Okay, like, I'm sure it would be cool for some people. I would be super bummed if we were playing these games at the end, like, you finish with Terrapagos and everything, and then you unlocked flying, like, after you beat the DLC. I would be so bummed.
Just like Spyro the Dragon.
I would be so bummed. I would be like, oh, man, because, like, I really want DLC 2 to happen, because DLC 2 would be sweet. Because, like, I honestly, DLC... well, first of all, Base Scarlet and Violet was very good outside of performance issues.
Yeah, agreed.
I really think that DLC, even in Sword and Shield, like, DLC has just been one of the best things that Pokemon has done in the recent past.
Mm-hmm.
PLA was good as well, by the way. I don't want to throw that. I don't want to say it hasn't been.
Oh, yeah.
I really would love to see, like, a game where they're just like, let's keep going. Let's not dish this. Let's keep going. Especially with the news that Switch 2 Electric Boogaloo's coming out next year. I would feel very awkward hearing that, oh man, we're getting another Pokemon game next year, and it being on the Switch 2 or still being for the Switch. I really feel like they should just take the extra year, just like keep working on this for another year. Give us more DLC.
I would be fine with a Legends game or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Even if it is a Let's Go, but I would prefer something like, you know, I obviously prefer Legends, but it's like, I think it could go another side game.
Well, you could kind of keep filling the timeline too, in my opinion. If next year we just got more DLC, and then 2025 you got Legends,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or whatever Unova thing they want to do at us. And I think you could do that and still have something very accomplished in that regard. I don't know. Like, I just see, like, Scarlet and Violet just feels like such a good base to do stuff with that I really hope they keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want more. Just more Scarlet and Violet, please. I'm basic. And honestly, like, I don't know. I feel like they could get around all their Dexit issues at the same time by just, like, doing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just expand the game.
Eventually have everything.
Yeah, you could just have everything eventually if you keep doing this. Also, Furfru needs a home.
Yeah, that's one of the last ones left now.
I know.
We still don't have the monkeys.
That's fine.
Oh, no.
We still don't have the Unova starters aside from Samurai.
It's fine. Panzap is going to be in Legends Unova. It's fine.
Panzap.
We did get Picky Peck. We got that one is coming in this setup.
Yeah, I'm hyped for all the returning things like Clefable and Gliscor. My heart. I'm so hyped.
Yeah. No, we're getting a lot in this as well. Every game that they come out with has actually been very good in that it actually has more Pokemon physically than the game before it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The more Pokemon available to catch than the game before it. And I think this will continue that trend for the most part. I think it will. I mean, it's very awkward that it doesn't include a lot of, like, all of the legends, like Sword and Shield does, so far, as far as we know. Like, it would be really cool.
There's still time for us to get the regulation finale of all the Uber Pokemon.
I would be okay without it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I would be okay without it.
Yeah, for competitive life, 1,000%.
VGC just moves too fast these days, in all honesty, anyway.
Yeah.
It's very hard to keep up. Like, not just physically with, like, making Pokemon, but also just... Oh, thanks, watch. But also physically, just, like, mentally, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the time you get a handle on the season, it's the new season with new stuff.
It's over. Yeah, the next regulation's taken over.
And I mean, some of it is still the same. I mean, you still get Fluttermane all the way through. I'm pretty sure even in the final version, Fluttermane is still gonna be...
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Near 50% usage. It's at 71% this weekend.
Absolutely. Fluttermane by itself is stupid.
It's just good. It's just good. Fluttermane good.
Yeah. So all you need is Fluttermane. That's fine. I think both finalists... I think one of the finalists team does not have Fluttermane as a shocker. They have Dragapult instead. I think I caught that coming through as things are happening while we're here.
But yeah, did we miss anything? I mean, we have the Elite Four. I don't really want to talk about them too much other than
we don't know too much about it.
You can kind of gauge their typings based off of what they look like and their names.
Well, we also got we got clips of some of them. I don't know what I mean. Obviously, Drayton is going to be dragon. He has Archaeldon, right?
And he's got the dragon type symbols on his.
Amaris is probably steel. She's the one who gets you the flying minigame. Crispin's fire.
Crispin is fire. He's absolutely fire. He gives off. He gives off what energy? The Elite Four member from Flint.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Flint from Sinnoh.
Yeah, he gives off Flint energy.
He enjoys cooking and red hot battles. ... His name is Crispin.
Crispin.
His name's Crispin. Hello. Yeah, that screams fire.
And then there's Lacey. Is Lacey just like a fairy type person? Is that just probably, right? Like,
or just sadness. She's sadness type.
Sadness type. But yeah. All right. Yeah, I think that's that's about everything other than we got mini games.
I'll touch.
I'm happy we got confirmation that the baby turtle is in fact also Terrapagos.
Yeah.
And it's the other big one that's its terrestrial form.
That is something to note.
We now know that that is itself.
Well, so it also says apparently Terrapagos is capable of taking on multiple distinct appearances instead of just two, which makes me think world Terrapagos might also be a thing.
Yeah.
That's my other... I also want to know what terrestrial forms are. They don't explain. Are they just when they terrestrialize, they look different? Done?
When Terrapagos terrestrializes and eats all your dreams, it becomes the time machine Pokemon.
Yeah. It's definitely a time machine.
If you put it on top of the crystal orb in Area Zero...
I'm waiting to find out if the other professor shows up in the other games in the DLC. That's what I really want to know.
Yeah.
Mother?
Oh, they do have the really cool late game.
Let's traumatize Arvin more.
I really like this a lot. The member of the league club that they have. You know, I really like this because my favorite thing is you can invite the gym leaders and stuff over, which I have always really liked. And when you invite them, they say you can take photos together. Okay, so who cares? If you beat them in battle, you can also trade Pokemon with them.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, that's the cool part. That's the coolest part, in my opinion, is that you can trade with a gym leader.
You used to do that in some of the games. I'm trying to remember which games.
The one that reminds me of the most of was My Pokemon Ranch, where you just collected enough and you would trade with Haley and get some cool stuff. So I'm actually pretty excited about this. I want to do this just to unlock all of it with OT gym leader names and stuff on them.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool. But we'll see. This is actually really interesting and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I was always looking forward to it, but it hasn't disappointed, and they've been very good about being very coy still
mm-hmm.
about all of it, which with a month left is very shocking to me.
We haven't been shown every Pokemon that's coming, the Sun and Moon cycle.
Yeah, I mean, they've stopped doing that and they learned from their lessons. Okay. Though, to be fair, it made it really easy for us as a podcast during the Sun and Moon cycle.
Yeah.
Because it was just every 3 weeks, here's an announcement video.
Look, we took an old ability and reskinned it to a new ability and made it a signature ability for this new Pokemon. You're welcome.
But yeah, it was very cute. I am very excited for this. We'll see how it goes. Well, I would love to know what you guys think, and if you guys are hyped, so please send those emails into pokopodcast@gmail.com. I don't have much else to say unless you guys do.
Nope, that's the big things I wanted to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on then to our Pokemon of the episode. And yeah, let us know in the email, like we said. We will catch you all on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode today is National Dex number 779, Bruxish, the Gnash Teeth Pokemon.
The Pokemon Violet entry reads, when sunlight reflects on the ripples created by a Bruxish grinding its teeth, the water all around sparkles brilliant.
That I believe. So Bruxish is a water psychic type Pokemon that came out in Gen 7 that everybody forgot about. And
how could you forget this?
I've never forgotten Bruxish. But Bruxish is it's very fun because it has like a bunch of abilities that I think people forget that it has.
Yeah.
Like Dazzling, which prevents priority moves being used against it, which is kind of cool. And then it's also got Strong Jaw. And then yeah. Additionally, it's also got Wonder Skin, which is on like 5 Pokemon.
What?
Wonder Skin.
What the heck?
Wonder Skin lowers the accuracy of status moves used against the Pokemon with his ability to 50%.
What?
Yeah.
I forgot that ability even was a thing.
Well, I mean, yep. Because the Pokemon it's on, there's only one Pokemon that gets it as a not hidden ability, and that is Sigilyph. And then the other Pokemon,
Magic Guard.
Yeah, and then the other Pokemon that get it are Venomoth. And when was the last time you ran a Venomoth? And then
you
it's
ran
the
tinted lenses Venomoth.
And then it's Skitty and Delcatty, and you should run Normalize.
I don't think Normalize is the one you want on it.
Then you don't want Cute Charm.
Yeah, I think Wonder Skin is the better ability by default, just because Normalize makes all your moves normal type. They doesn't boost anything.
Makes everything stab.
Make everything stab.
And you can Thunder Wave a Dugtrio.
Oh, it does get a 20% power boost. Okay, so maybe Normalize. But then it's like, well, then you can't hit Ghost types because Normalize.
Well, then switch out. Easy.
Also, Bruxish is like decently fast. 92 base speed, 105 attack, 70 in everything else except for HP at 68. But I mean, it's not too bad, and it gets decent moves. It gets Psychic Fangs, Wave Crash. Those are the moves it gets. I think it also gets Ice Fang.
A lot of bite moves, I imagine.
Yeah, a lot of bite moves. And today, surprisingly, we learned it gets Trick Room. It gets Trick Room. We do have a VGC team with it. It is holding Focus Sash. It is. It does have the Dazzling ability, so you cannot priority against it. So you can't fake it out, right?
No fake out. No
fake
prankster
out. Yeah,
yeah. Nothing. I imagine Prankster Taunt T-waves. Doesn't work either.
Yeah, you can't do a lot of things to just shut it down early on. It's Terra type Water. Who cares? 252 HP, 252 attack, 4 speed, Adamant Nature. Protect, Wave Crash, Psychic Fangs, Trick Room. Because it turns out if you're just not running Speed Investment, you can probably just outspeed everything in Trick Room. There's also Qian Pao on this team, probably because Qian Pao is good, and it's also for like the fast mode of the team. Like, there's two modes. You could either play Trick Room, or you can shut down Trick Room, honestly, with it as well. And you also have the version that can go fast, and Qian Pao is part of the version that can go fast. He's got Assault Vest, Sword of Ruin, obviously, so you can decrease the defense stat of everybody around you. 228 HP, 156 attack, 4 defense, 4 special defense, 116 speed, Adamant Nature, because you're going to hit hard with your Icicle Crash, your Sacred Sword, your Terra Blast, because you are a Terra-type Grass, so you get some coverage there. Also, Sucker Punch. Actually, it looks kind of like a fun Qian Pao, in all honesty.
Kind of looks nasty, just with the grass type, you hit a lot of weird things that would normally resist ice.
Especially in VGC. Waters. You would hit water a lot, which is kind of big against like Palafin, if you're having issues with that. I don't know a lot of the big threats.
Dondozo, I guess.
Yeah, Dondozo as well. Yeah, Dondozo is still a big threat in VGC. Let us know about these other boys you got here, Seth.
Yeah, sure thing. Next thing we've got, let's start to get a little bit more into standard VGC type stuff from this point. We've got Urshifu single strike form with Dread Plate. Of course, the abilities Unseen Fist, the EVs are simple. 4 HP, 252 attack, 252 speed, adamant nature. Moves are Wicked Blow, Sucker Punch, Close Combat, and Detect. Pretty normal. Just yeah. Hit
and,
hard.
Unseen Fist is very good in VGC when people protect. Is. I definitely saw that happen this weekend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Protect. No, you didn't. So
you're not wrong.
And then following up, we've got another VGC staple of Tornadus, regular incarnate form. Holding the eject button, the ability is Prankster. The Terra type is Steel, because I guess it just is cool on a flying type. And EVs are 212 HP, 4 attack, 156 defense, 132 special defense, 4 speed with an impish nature. It's a defensive Tornadus, not really here to attack at all. It's here to support. It's got a moveset of Protect, Acrobatics, Tailwind, and Leer. So, you know, you come in with this first, use Tailwind, it gets hit, it switches out because of the eject button. Then it can just come in later and hit really hard with Acrobatics boosted. So, cool little strategy
heck
to
yeah,
get your
baby.
Things in.
Also, the Tailwind for more speed control.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And so your last two are going to be some more of your bread and butter hitters in the format. Since this team is not running Fluttermane, but it's running its one of the other popular ghost types, Goldingo, with choice specs. Good as gold ability, Terra type Steel. This is 196 HP, 4 defense, 100 spatak, 4 spadef, and 204 speed, modest nature. It's got Make It Rain, Shadow Ball, Thunderbolt, Focus Blast. Very kind of bulky standard type of, Goldingo. Just be able to spam attacks freely.
Gosh, mm-hmm. We haven't really had anything that really takes advantage of that trick room yet, have we? Huh.
Nope. But now we do with the best bear, Ursaluna.
That is the best bear.
Yep. A flame orb, ability Guts. This is Terra type Fairy, just to be able to resist any fighting moves from Iron Hands that might try to punch it.
Oh, yeah.
Or Urshifu, the other bears in the format. Mm-hmm. It is a 252 HP, 204 attack, 52 defense, brave nature, 0 IV and speed. It's got Protect, Facade, Earthquake, and Headlong Rush.
Strong boy.
Yeah, this is about the standard bear that I've seen all weekend here. There's a couple changes you could make, but yeah, having Headlong Rush and Earthquake helps just to be able to kind of decide whether you do spread move or go focus in on one target.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's a fun team. I don't know. Ursaluna is just fun. I really like Ursaluna.
Oh, yes. No.
Yeah.
There's some crazy ones. There is a Swords Dance set I saw.
I know. I've seen that. Like, I've seen the Swords Dance set.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun and terrifying?
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're going to protect? Haha, I'm going to Swords Dance.
I know. Punish
you think
him.
I'm protecting? Nah, I'm going to Swords
Dance. It doesn't matter. If it's fine. I just hit like a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I love Ursaluna. It's so... I hate its face, but I think the concept of the Pokemon is very cute.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those. The design has some miss, like can be a bit of a miss depending on who you are, but the
it's not terrible.
Competitive side is good.
It's like most Pokemon designs that like I don't like initially. It's definitely grown on me over the years,
mm-hmm.
but it's still jarring.
Yeah,
occasionally,
but I like him.
Oh yeah. All right, well that is going to be it for this team. We will put it on the Discord, and you guys can try it out yourselves. Until then, we are going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and we might read your email on the show. Last week we asked you guys what you thought about the presents initially or give us your predictions. I think only a couple of you sent in predictions. Some of you just sent in what you thought. Of course, the mailbag goes on today as well. Let us know what you think about the reveal at Worlds and everything that happens. We're very excited to hear it. But without further ado, this segment is always brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
Fictional hooves.
And we'll give out the Green Tauros badge to whoever we deem worthy. It's very, very arbitrary. All right. Our first email this week is going to come from Sleeve, and I believe Seth has this one.
You betcha, and this is a two-parter, which is what's hilarious, so I'll read part one first. Hi, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. I just wanted to give some predictions for the presents in a couple of hours before it happens. So as not to state the obvious, these are my wild cards. Number one, Paradox, Lady Anne, and Ariados teased to promote the DLC. I mean, these Pokemon need something, right?
Okay, that's correct, though. That's correct, though, right?
Yeah. They were made bad and continued to be bad for two decades. They deserve this. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they
Number
do.
Two, Let's Go Kalos announced for next year. They're choosing this over Johto because they already have Santaloon Forest built from LVP. That's bait. Number three, Pokemon Rocket Base announced as a mobile game. This is basically a mobile game where you navigate through various levels of spinning floor mazes of increasing difficulty, freeing a stolen Pokemon at the end of each batch of levels. The Pokemon Company hopes this will attract all the Gen 1ers that haven't had a good maze since Gen 6. Anyway, thanks as usual for the great content. Peace and love, Sleeve. So we got that email, you know, a couple hours before the presents happens. Then, a few hours after the presents happens, they followed up with, update, at what point does the Pokemon Company's treatment of Raikou become bullying?
I don't hate Raging Bolt. I don't hate Raging Bolt. The official art fixes it.
What if, but long? You just gotta stretch that cat right out.
It's not but what long. They just made him a Brontosaurus.
What if, but long? The memes are gold.
Now, could they have chosen, like, a better dinosaur? Absolutely.
No, because I looked at, like, some of the things that came out. One of them, Brontosaurus translates to Thunder Lizard.
Oh, then this is perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm even more okay with this now.
I know, but I still hate it.
I'm so okay with this on a lot of levels. I like his tail. All right. The next one is going to come from Zay Paladin, and I believe Sharks got this one.
What it do, Puckle Crew? Man, oh man, the Pokemon Presents was something else. Personally, I mostly was interested in the information for the upcoming DLC, but overall it showed some really cool games and events. The IRL SSN seems really neat. Basically, it's just reskinned and watered-down Disney Cruise, but I would 100% go on it if I had money. Another portion that stuck out to me was the Detective Pikachu game. I don't usually get excited for spin-offs games, but Gritty Pikachu is just too funny for me.
Ugh.
It's okay. It's not gritty. You just haven't played the other one.
I can't wait to learn shapes in this one.
I'm excited to use the Galarian Darmanitan to punch things open.
Oh, yeah.
You actually get to have Pokemon buddies this time to help do things for you. So that looked fun. As for the DLC, I'm impressed by the new forms that were shown. The Duraludon evolution is one that I enjoy the most. It feels weird that there is now a bridge Pokemon, but something about it draws me in. In my eyes, it's like the developers saw all the memes about object mons and decided to not just lean in, but absolutely dunk on it.
I don't know if they're dunking on it. I think they're just like, anything can be a Pokemon now, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon is something that's supposed to bring us all together, just like bridges.
Oh, God.
Archeladon stands in defiance to the object haters, and I 100% support it as a fellow contrarian.
I mean, Duraludon was a building, so this is...
This Pokemon is meant to bridge the gap between... Duraludon, though, was a specific building. It was the Shard in London.
No. Only the G-Max was the Shard. The little one wasn't.
It's a miniature. It's like the architect's son drew the building that his dad made. That's what Duraludon is.
It's fine.
Daddy, look, it goes on the fridge, right?
Yes.
Yes, my child.
I also think the other designs are rather bland besides Raikou 2, so Archeladon stands out even more.
Raikou 2.
Other than that, I'm really excited for the new stories to be told through the DLC, especially since two of the characters look to appear in both iterations of the DLC as well. And shout out Corphish, can't wait to add you back to my team, little buddy. Till next time, Z Paladin.
All right, here we go. Thank you for that one. We've got one more today. It's going to be from Gigasaurus Games. Hello, Puckle Crew. The episode this week really got me thinking, so I decided to write down my own thoughts about the Pokemon Direct. The first part of this email will be my bingo card. I will obviously include some announcements for Pokemon Masters and a discussion on sleep. I will also add a moonshot for another Mystery Dungeon 4 Explorers. I'm also going to add on to the hypothesis that they actually won't give a release date for the Teal Mask, because I do not believe that they themselves have themselves together enough to be able to be sure when they fall, to be sure when during the fall they are going to release it yet. And I think putting off the announcement would more match my thoughts on how good they are at planning their schedule.
Joke's on you, buckaroo.
Yeah, right. The second part of this email is my reactions to the actual direct. I have to say, an animated series about the TCG was definitely not on my bingo card. I'm not convinced by it yet, but it could be interesting, since it seems to be doing something like Yu-Gi-Oh! To keep the battles interesting. Oh man, if you watch it, this is not entirely true, but almost. The Pokemon Masters and Sleep announcements were on my card, but I suppose Cafe Remake should have occurred to me as well, considering how much they keep pushing it. Yeah, I don't know who's playing this game, by the way. Who's playing this game?
No one.
There's, like, nobody, I swear. I still have no real interest in it, though. The TCG video game to coming to NSO is very exciting, though, since I've heard a lot about it. The physical game still has no interest to me, though, which was reinforced how much TCG material I saw at Gen Con this last weekend. Including trollandtoad.com, actually. Though I do have to admit, I still spent a lot of money on other new games. So I am running this as I am watching the Direct. I did not at all expect the announcement of multiple animated series. I know, right? Isn't that so weird? I always enjoy these short series, and I'm quite excited about the upcoming Paldea Wind series as well. I guess TPCI has realized how many people they can get to watch their IP by publishing lots of short, cheap animated series, based on the fact that they have multiple releases coming this time. We still have that one thing coming to Netflix, right? Like that Pokemon Concierge thing, too? It's very weird.
Yeah, like December or something?
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's like they have multiple studios, because the TCG one looks like it's by the same one who did the Bidoof one a while back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're right, actually. And the tone is kind of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this Hisuian, or like the Hisuian Snow one, which actually got awards. It actually got like legitimate awards for it.
Yeah, it did.
So seeing it go with the Paldean Winds one, like, yeah, it's the same type of thing. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
they just have a bunch of little studios doing different things. And you know what? They cater to different things. And you know what? I'm all for it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad thing.
As for the big trailer, Ogerpon terrastalizing in a special way wasn't a surprise, but I was not expecting a Paradox Raikou that looks like a giraffe. I am now seriously looking forward to seeing how ridiculous Paradox Entei looks. Paradox Entei is going to be like a T-Rex or a Triceratops.
I think it's going to be a Stegosaurus. I think they're just going to...
I'm into that.
...augment the little volcano mountain on its back into the plates of a Stegosaurus. That's my opinion.
I could see that for sure.
I like that.
I've seen a lot of argument for Triceratops, too, with the crown on Entei specifically, how they just become horns.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of things for that, so we'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun ideas.
I'm also happy to see that Bastiodon and Rampardos are returning, because I've always had a soft spot for their designs. Diplin also has me curious, because it doesn't look like a final evolution to me. It is, guys. It's definitely a final evolution. Even if it is, Free Sweet Scent could potentially be a fun ability on gimmick teams.
I am hyped for that.
Yeah.
Because I used a lot of Gravity Starmie back in the day, and Gravity is functioning a lot like how this ability is going to function by lowering everything's evasiveness, so you can use dumb powered moves.
It's going to be way better in VGC.
Exactly. When it's a partner, like, and then you have something else out firing off blizzards for, like, 91% accuracy.
Yep.
You get blizzards, you've got the bleak storm, like the thunder one that was shown used a little bit, that has 80 accuracy.
Yeah, that's going to be dumb.
Diplin's going to be very dumb.
It's going to be silly. Bad, but silly.
It's going to be like a gimmick mon, but it's going to be a fun one.
Yes.
And on the website, it showed that like it had the stat drop thing.
Yep.
So it's actually physically lowering those stats. It's not just a pervasive thing while it's on the field.
It's going to be really good in VGC. It's going to be very good on VGC.
Yeah.
Finally, I am pleasantly surprised that we both have the release date for Teal Mask and that it's only a month away. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say next week and hope you all have a good week. Gigasaurus Games. Woo. Well, there we go. That's the email.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we think gets the badge?
We got a lot of discussion out of that one.
I know. I think it is Gigasaurus. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gigasaurus, you get that badge. But yeah, if you want to email us next week, let us know what you thought of the Direct and what you think things are going to be like when we get them. Let us know how much you dislike Raikou, and I can fight you. Additionally, you could go ahead and just, yeah, email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Keep up with us at pucklediscord.com. You can also go ahead and follow us over at Twitter, X, whatever, Facebook, Instagram, I guess Threads. I haven't posted anything on it, but we do have that.
Yay.
We can also go ahead and you can also follow us over at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, youtube.com/pucklepodcast, and of course, you can help support the show by going over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast, or you can go to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 for a 5% discount off on your purchase.
Ooh.
Anything else, though? I don't think I have anything. So with that, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Seth Vilo.
And I'm Shark Finnegan.
Here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.